Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about another one of those ethical issues that have arisen out of our country's moral apostasy. In that this people have abandoned their belief in God's authority and their belief in God's law, all sorts of perversions and unethical behaviors are popping up in our culture, and it's almost impossible to keep up with them all. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Psalm 81:11. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. The Hebrew word behind this English word device means a tool or a way to practice rebellion against God. Well, the most recent device that has come to my attention is surrogacy, often called gestational carry, or renting a womb, where a woman agrees to use her womb to implant a fertilized egg from a completely different mother or father. This is somewhat different from what is called third-party reproduction or sperm donation, where a couple will use someone else's egg or sperm so that the child will have at least half of the genetics of the parents, or the parents-to-be. But even in gestational carry, surrogacy, there is often the use of a third-party egg or sperm, so four people can be involved, even five. The one donating the egg, the one donating the sperm, the two parents-to-be, and the woman whose womb is being used. And this gets quite convoluted. And when people break out of God's natural plan for marriage and children, all sorts of complications arise. Sin complicates life. Now, as I said, with all that's going on in America, this has not been an issue on my plate. It may not be an issue on your plate. But I recently went down to a legislative hearing in Trenton where New Jersey legislators were considering a bill liberalizing surrogacy laws in New Jersey. Currently, surrogacy contracts are generally illegal in New Jersey because of that famous Baby M case back in 1986. The surrogate mother in that case decided to keep the baby girl, and the courts upheld the surrogate's mother's decision. The New Jersey courts at that time also ruled that payment of money to surrogates is illegal. The court stated that nobody can contractually let go of their parental rights. And this new legislation in New Jersey is meant to allow for surrogacies and surrogacy contracts in New Jersey, meaning that there can be an enforceable contract, that the woman carrying the baby must give the baby to the couple who is paying for the surrogacy. Currently, 17 states have laws permitting surrogacy. 21 states have no law for or against. In 5 states, surrogacy contracts are void and unenforceable. And in Washington, D.C., surrogacy carries criminal penalties. California, as to be expected, is the most liberal state for surrogacy. Not only are contracts enforceable, but commercial surrogacy is legal. You can pay a woman to rent her womb. And so people from around the world who want surrogacy flock to California. Now, before I get into the heart of the issue here, we need to look at some biblical guidelines and principles. The reaction to surrogacy is often, oh, isn't this wonderful? Couples that don't have a baby can now have a baby. But let's remember, God places limits on who can have a baby. Not the least of which is having a baby out of wedlock. Babies are only for a man and a woman who have joined themselves together in the holy union of marriage. That's God's plan. And even beyond this, we must remember that a husband or a wife is not to have a baby with another partner. In the secular world, the materialists see these biblical mandates as merely a prohibition against having sex with someone else, that the act of sex alone would be the sin. Therefore, in their mind, it's perfectly acceptable to use the sperm or the egg of someone else as long as there is no physical sex. But the biblical prohibition extends to not having a biological child with someone else who is not your husband or wife. There is a spiritual unity that takes place in having children. And no matter how much you think the child belongs to you and to your husband, that child is the offspring of a third partner. And spiritually, that man or woman is the father or mother. And this idea that it's good enough that the child has at least half of the DNA of the prospective parents is unbiblical, unethical thinking. Now, the prime example would be Abraham and Sarah, Genesis chapter 16. They're childless, and so Sarah tells Abraham to have a child for them through their servant Hagar. Genesis 16:2. So Sarai says to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of his wife Sarai. Now notice Sarai says, "I will obtain children through her." You see, in this culture, the owner of the slave could take the child of a slave as her own. I believe there was some sort of custom where Hagar would actually deliver her child onto the lap of Sarah. But the whole thing's fiction. It's making believe that the baby belongs to you because you so desperately want a child. And because this was a lie, and Sarah knew this in her conscience, she became angry when Hagar became pregnant. And Hagar despised Sarah because she felt superior to Sarah that she could bear a child for Abram. And she resented Sarah for planning to take her child. And this is what happens in surrogacy. No matter how much secular materialists want to divorce the emotional and the spiritual element from having children, saying that it's just biology, there is a spiritual emotional connection. The man who donates to a sperm bank and hence fathers a child he will never know is accountable before God for that child. He is to be that child's father, and this is a responsibility that goes with God's gift of procreation. You cannot delegate away that responsibility. There is a spiritual connection. And the couple that has a child using the egg or sperm of a third person are committing a form of adultery. Now, if you want to get people angry, explain this biblical principle to a couple who is desperate to have a child and is resorting to doing what Abraham and Sarah did. You're going to be called judgmental. You're going to be called legalistic. You're going to be called uncaring. Because they're so desperate to have a child, thinking that a child is going to bring them happiness, that they're just going to ignore the scriptures. And I'm sure back in Genesis 16, if anyone tried to counsel Sarah, they would have reaped the wrath of Sarah because she wanted a child. Now, the other example is that of Lot and his two daughters. And this becomes a good example of how the act of sex itself is not the only sin. Lot's two daughters wanted children. And so they got their father drunk and had sex with him. Genesis 19:32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. There's not a whole lot of difference here. In this case, and in many types of in vitro fertilization, the crime of Lot was not having sex with his daughters. He was knocked out. The crime was having a baby with a father, not with a husband. The child must be spiritually and emotionally connected to the husband. But again, the unsaved world denies the soul, denies the spiritual realm. As far as they're concerned, it's just about biology. And so many people have fallen for this lie. So the main problem with surrogacy, it breaks God's boundaries concerning marriage and children. But what if the egg and the sperm come from a married couple and they use a third-party womb? Well, then all sorts of other issues come up. First, the abortion issue. When a woman donates eggs and a man donates sperm, the fertilization takes place outside the womb, and always multiple eggs are fertilized. And only the viable ones are implanted. They always fertilize many eggs to have more to work with. And what the couple and the doctor are doing is bringing a child to life in that inception, and then letting that child die. Now, of course, there are times when an egg can be fertilized in a woman's body, and for whatever reason, it doesn't attach to the wall of her uterus. But that's something outside our doing. That's an act of God. We are not to play God in deciding which fertilized egg should live and which fertilized egg should die. When an egg is fertilized, that is precious life that we must not destroy. The hundreds of sperm banks and egg banks in the United States are just another sign of the moral depravity of our culture, a cheapening, a disrespect for life. Then the second issue kicks in, using the womb of another woman. There is an emotional attachment that takes place between the woman and the baby she carries. Well, you might be able to say, oh, well, I know a surrogate woman who doesn't care. Well, just because she doesn't care doesn't mean she shouldn't care. Plus the drugs that need to be taken by the surrogate. The long-term effects on her body. Is it right for a couple to put a woman through these things so they can have a child? Maybe that couple should instead take it as from the Lord, that God doesn't want them to have a child of their own, but to adopt. At the hearing I went to, even the New Jersey representative of the National Organization for Women, NOW, was against the New Jersey surrogacy legislation because it deprived the surrogate of her rights, and it would create a whole class of poor slave women who would be surrogates for the rich. Kind of like some sort of futuristic sci-fi, where through modern technology, the rich and the powerful could use other women, breeders, to have their children. I was just in contact with a family who has a troubled drug-addicted daughter. And this young woman was offered at least $30,000 plus expenses to be a surrogate. And she jumped on the opportunity because she didn't have any other way of making that kind of money. So what we will get in a surrogacy industry is poor women renting out their wombs in order to eke out a living. There are even internet advertisements. Be a surrogate, earn up to $70,000. Pay off your college loans. Buy a home. Is this what we want to see happen in our country? Needy women being taken advantage of. So even in countries like France, surrogacy is illegal for that reason. It violates civil rights and civil protections. In countries like Cambodia, Thailand, India, they've all recently banned commercial surrogacy because so many Westerners were coming over and exploiting poor women. The EU has recently condemned surrogacy as a human right violation. Let me read a piece from an article about a surrogacy. Heather Rice decided to try commercial surrogacy after seeing an ad on a parenting website. At age 19, the Arizona single mother of two was working two low-paying jobs. She wanted to stay at home with her children. Rice's first experience was amazing. She conceived easily, birthed twin girls for a couple, earning $1,750 a month. She thought, I can do this again. But Rice's second experience for an infertile heterosexual couple turned bitter. She miscarried twice. The second baby girl was diagnosed with Down syndrome, died at 31 weeks. Rice's third pregnancy for the couple was twin boys. One died at 8 weeks. Then a routine 20-week ultrasound revealed that the other boy had a rare brain cleft. During the ultrasound, Rice said the prospective mother just got up and left the room. Rice's own mothering instincts kicked in when the genetic mother called her a week later and told her to abort. To her, it was just an embryo made in the lab. To me, it was a living, kicking, moving human being inside of me. Rice hired a lawyer and began researching his condition, feeling hopeful after talking with brain experts and sending them medical scans. At 28 weeks, the boy's cleft closed in what Rice called a miracle from God. The parents then indicated that they wanted him, saying they set up a nursery and bought baby clothing. But when Rice went into labor, the mother never showed up at the hospital. Rice called the father crying and begging him to come and see the boy and cut the cord. He came, he cut the cord, he took the baby. Rice, now age 32, has no idea what happened to MJ. She recently found the couple on Facebook, but found no trace of the boy. Well, this is what happens in surrogacy. Look what happened to Abraham and Sarah. It most often turns out ugly, because it's outside the plan of God. But even if you don't see the problem with the possible emotional and physical damage done to the surrogate, let's say you find a surrogate who's a relative who wants to carry the baby out of altruistic motives. The abortion issue involved in surrogacy should be enough to steer the Christian couple away from surrogacy. But let me conclude by explaining what is really going on here in this exploding interest in surrogacy. One of the main motivations is homosexuals wanting to have children. And now that it has become a gay right issue, legislators are tripping over themselves, trying to get surrogacy legalized. And homosexuals are using the infertility of traditionally married couples to get legislators to legalize surrogacy so that they can also have children. Because once it's legalized, with gay marriage the law of the land, whatever applies to heterosexual couples has to apply to homosexual couples. On May 1st of this year, Governor Christie signed legislation mandating the expansion of insurance coverage for infertility treatment to include same-sex couples, which can easily cost $150,000. So now everyone has to pay for homosexual couples to have children, because apparently it's unfair that they can't have children on their own, so the entire society must bear that cost. And the whole thing is quite absurd. How can a homosexual couple be considered infertile? Medically, infertility was considered a physical infirmity. But now homosexuals are saying because men cannot have babies, they're also infertile. And medical science should give them the same rights to have babies as normal couples. And this is the new morality, where the ungodly want to use science to make their fantasy of same-sex families possible. See, one of the main arguments against same-sex marriage was that homosexuals can't have children. I mean, the world cannot exist for very long with homosexual marriage. And so it's obvious from nature that homosexual marriage ought to be in a different category. But no, the LGBT lobbyists insist that homosexuality must be equal. And it must have the same status and rights as everyone else. And so they have to find some way around this natural physical limitation. And surrogacy is the answer for them. And so surrogacy has become an ideological support for homosexual marriage and family. And even when I was down in Trenton at these legislative hearings, everyone was whispering that this was all about homosexuals being able to have children, but of course everyone was keeping that truth under wraps. In an article in World Magazine about this, it begins describing a conference in San Francisco, the fourth annual Surrogacy Conference and Expo. And one of the main lectures was entitled, How Gay Men Can Have Babies Using Surrogates. And the conference was hosted by a nonprofit group called Men Having Babies. So the real problem here with surrogacy is that these surrogate children are being put into same-sex families, men who commit indecent acts, Romans chapter 1, verse 27, men who defile the flesh and reject God's authority, Jude 8. But in our secular society, nobody is allowed to discriminate or to judge between what is a good family and what is a bad family. Because we live in a culture that no longer wants to make distinctions. So any new laws concerning surrogacy can never be limited to heterosexual couples, those who have legitimate infertility issues. So given the way that surrogacy is going to be used, it needs to be rejected. First, for God's sake. Second, for the sake of the children. Now, in that hearing that I went to in Trenton, a legal expert, a lawyer in the field, testified against this new New Jersey surrogacy law. He was the chief counsel in the Baby M case back in the 80s. And in sharing the harm done by surrogacy, he shared the story of a recent case he currently handled. The woman who was the surrogate was 48 years old. California law does not put an age limit on who can be a surrogate because you cannot age discriminate. They did a triple embryo transplant on this woman. So she gave birth to three children and they came 10 weeks early. The man who was the intended parent lived in Georgia. There was no home study done on him because in secular ethics, you can't discriminate against anyone who wants a child. Turned out that the man was 50 years old, single, deaf, and couldn't speak. When he discovered that all three children were viable, he demanded that she abort two of them. When she refused, the man's lawyer threatened to sue her to ruin her financially for break of contract. He went to court. And according to the gestational carry law in California, as also in New Jersey, what is in the best interest of the child is irrelevant. What matters is the surrogacy contract. This lawyer against surrogacy went on to state that in the past, all the laws focused on the welfare of the children. Now the focus is on the desires of the adults. Major legal shift. Well, this intended parent told the court that he would probably have to give up at least one of the children to adoption. And the court said, what happens to these children is none of our business. Now, when this man arrived in California to pick up the children, the hospital staff was so alarmed by this man's condition that they required him to take a 10-day class in caring for children. And the hospital sent three doctors and three nurses across country to Georgia to set this man up with the children because they didn't want the liability of releasing the children to this man. And the first day that this man was left alone with these children, he had to go to the emergency room because he still didn't know how to feed them. So the bottom line is this. Surrogacy is supplying children for people who should not have children, physically and morally. And given our political correct environment and the moral confusion in our society, there can be no limits here. I mean, just think about it. A decade ago, people would be horrified by children having to be raised by transgenders or homosexuals or lesbians. But now it's not only tolerated, it's actually encouraged through surrogacy because this generation wants to prove the point that homosexuals can be good parents. So, in that our nation has no moral compass, Christians have to oppose surrogacy. Because this generation cannot handle medical science correctly. And don't be deceived by all of this support for surrogacy as being a wholesome way for infertile heterosexual couples to have children. I wish that were the case, but it's not. Psalm 140, verse 8. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they not be exalted. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To listen to this program again or to download it, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you'll find an archive of many programs addressing what the Bible has to say about many current issues. That's godandcountryradio.org. And again, thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the children. Deliver them from evil, even if you have to bring this age to an end. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.